is Radio Ghana.
Coming to you live from the National Studios and Broadcasting House here in Accra, I am George Asikri with this edition of Behind the News, where we bring you latest updates and detailed analysis of current happenings in Ghana. Tonight, NDC to embark on manual registration of members ahead of the party's internal elections. What informs the decision to scrap the existing register? We find out. Ashanti Regional Minister ends inconclusive meeting with conflicting VIP service operators and Intercity STC Limited over Asafo Bus Terminal. Tonight we tell you why STC cannot operate at the terminal until further notice. And unemployed medical doctors cry for jobs. What is preventing government from absorbing the doctors? Details shortly. Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories on our show. Our text line is 0266-026-941. 0266-026-941. Behind the News, we are live on all our 16 FM stations across the country and also live across the globe on www.gbcghana.com. To our very first story. Over 240 trained medical doctors who have still not been employed since they graduated in 2014 are questioning the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Finance why they have still not been absorbed. According to the doctors, effort to ensure financial clearance for their absorption into the public service have proved futile, whilst many hospitals across the country do not have adequate medical doctors. Tonight we ask why this development. But first, let's talk to one of the doctors. Dr. Isaac Akwa joins us on the line. Doc, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening.
And thanks for your time. Doc, when did you finish your training?
Okay, so we actually are a batch of several doctors. We have some who were trained from the University of Ghana Medical School, some foreign trained, some were trained from KNUST, and then some also trained from UCC. So we graduated at different points, but the majority of us actually graduated from the University of Ghana Medical School in December 2014. And after that, we actually went on to do a house job. In fact, it took about 5 months before we started a house job. And we went through the compulsory two-year house job, which is mandated by the Medical and Dental Council. So we completed a house job approximately around May, June. Some completed around May and some around June. And we actually have fulfilled the requirements to be employed as medical officers. We've been waiting all this while to get financial clearance.
So that's working. Technically, it means that you finished everything last year. The housemanship.
No, the housemanship we completed this year, actually.
Okay, so how many months have you stayed home?
So it's been about 5 to 6 months at home.
So what are your grievances?
Our grievance is just simple. The main issue why we are still sitting at home and not working is because we need financial clearance. And financial clearance just means that the government is committing to pay us when we start working. That's all it means. And there's really no myth about it. We actually already were on the payroll before when we were house officers.
Okay.
And we have a system where currently, as soon as you finish your house job, you're automatically taken off the payroll. It didn't used to be that in the past. At first, you just graduated seamlessly from house job, from a house officer to a medical officer. And if for one reason or the other you are not working, then you are taken off the payroll. But you have a system now where right after house job, you actually are automatically taken off the payroll, and then you actually have to now go through the process again, and now, you know, go through the whole system to gain your financial clearance. And so that is where we are at the moment.
So currently, is the process ongoing to get you employed first before the clearance, or is clearance before employment?
Well, currently, you see, it's like the two go hand in hand. So you have to be able to get the clearance before you start work. And, well, we actually have made efforts. Some of us actually have been to the Ministry of Health, whom we are supposed to deal with directly. And they keep telling us the same story, that they are working on it. That's what they keep telling us, that they are working on it.
So are you waiting to apply to be employed, or you will be absorbed into the system once the clearance issue is solved?
So it is such that once the clearance is given by the Ministry of Finance, then we'll be posted to the different health institutions that are available to take us. In fact, there are a whole lot of health institutions that actually need doctors at the moment. So is that the financial clearance we are waiting for?
The last time we spoke to the Director General of the Ghana Health Service, he gave the indication that doctors trained will have to apply for jobs, and this time you choose the region you want to. And I'm wondering if you have been informed about that procedure.
Well, we heard about that, but in any case, without a financial clearance, you can't even be employed anyway. Yes, because, and the truth is, there are actually a lot of institutions that have actually, they are ready to take us. In fact, some of us have actually spoken to institutions for them to actually make commitments to employ us. But all of them keep saying that without a financial clearance, they can't employ us. Because, in fact, there's a directive. If you, as an institution, you take somebody on without the clearance from the Ministry of Finance, you are more or less going to take that burden of paying the person, more or less.
My understanding is that medical doctors, some work under the government of Ghana, where the government will pay you directly. Others work under the Christian service facilities or the religious service facilities. Do they also need clearance from government to absorb you?
Yes, please. All those people, even the ones who work under the Christian Health Association of Ghana, that's the church facilities, are all paid by government of Ghana. Just that their systems might be different, but they are all paid from government of Ghana payroll.
So, Doc, as we speak, do you know your fate?
that's a very, it's actually very, very sad, because we really don't know what is going on. Because, you see, if we, for instance, knew that, okay, let's say next week we are going to get the clearance, then, you know, we will plan our lives appropriately. I have colleagues who really don't know what is going on. I have a colleague who is married. She's a female colleague. She's married with a child. Her husband is also a doctor, and they are both unemployed. So she's actually had to leave Accra and go and stay with her parents somewhere up north, because she doesn't have the means to be able to survive right now. So she's having to live with her parents. So that's a sad situation we are in. We really don't know what is going on. And we've actually had this evening, one of our colleagues was on air with a government official who just said we should give them time. That's all he said. He didn't commit to anything. So we don't know whether we are going to be cleared today or tomorrow or the day after.
Right. Well, thank you very much for your time on our show. Wish you all the best. Once you've come public, I'm sure you hear something. Let's see what happens in the weeks ahead. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for your time, too.
Dr. Isaac Akwa is one of the newly trained medical doctors waiting to be employed. We have also joining us on the line the Public Relations Officer of the Ministry of Health, Robert Kujo. Good evening, sir, and welcome to the program. What is the fate of the unemployed trained doctors who are at home?
We have to call it the state.
I'm asking their fate.
What fate are we talking about? These are doctors who have completed their rotation, and they are waiting to be posted. It's a normal thing.
When are you posting them?
Hello?
When are you posting them?
The process is ongoing. The list has been sent to the Ministry of Finance for clearance. That is what we are waiting.
But are they aware of the process going on?
No, they are not the first people who have been employed in Ghana. Look at the number of nurses, doctors, and other health professionals that we have in the system. We have been training and posting them.
Our understanding is that the
normal process. So what has changed this time around?
The change, according to Dr. Aqua, we just spoke to, is that in the past, after the housemanship, they were not taken off the payroll immediately. But currently, that is the case.
You know, the process has to go at full length before these things are done. For example, all those who completed their training, did their rotation and other housemanship, whatever, some of them are even not Ghanaians. Some of them, I believe, wouldn't even like to work in the government sector. So it's not like a blanket, general kind of recruitment. Because I believe some of them, not even the foreigners, some of them will even be going home to work in their home country. So what happens is that after a rotation, I mean, definitely some will be opting out. Those who think that they'll work in the government, and them should be put together by their council, sent to the ministry, or write a letter, touch it, and then send to the finance ministry, waiting for the government to recruit them. This is the normal practice. And the letter has gotten to us, was sent to the letter to finance. We're only waiting to be given the green light. Just like we've been doing all over the years.
Well, but the last time we spoke to the Director General of the Ghana Health Service, the indication was that this time around, the medical doctors will have to choose a region where they want to work in. So the process of employing them, there's a little change. You don't post them directly as it used to be.
Well, it's something which is being considered. Like I said, I mean, you don't think that all the doctors after their training will be working in the government establishment.
Well, our interest is those who will be working in the government establishment where they need clearance.
It's going to come a time that they will, because we have Ghana Health Service, we have the teaching hospital, we have child others. So some may decide to work in one hospital or another. So the government can declare. Maybe the Ghana Health Service can declare some vacancies. You apply and then you are posted. We've not gotten there yet.
So that
is the policy now.
With the current badge.
What is happening is that we have gotten their list. We've sent it to finance. We are only waiting for clearance to post them. So they only need to be a little bit patient, because I'm told by the statement they put out there today, that they have completed somewhere, the address, whatever. How many months is that?
Well, but you know, those of us even working on the 20th of the month, some begin to ask, when are they paying? So you can imagine people who are not working. They have genuine concern if they are saying they have nothing in their pocket.
I keep telling people. I mean, I don't know at times. Is it that we don't know the challenges that we have as a nation? This country belongs to any political
party. But we are talking of priorities, sir. We are talking of medical doctors. People are dying in facilities. That is why we are worried.
But do you think this 200 plus is the number who will save all the dying souls?
Even if one medical doctor can save one life, is that not important?
More than that. But my brother, over the years, we have been training them. We have been employing them. What is all... special that at this time round we can recruit just 200 and something of our brothers and sisters who have completed their rotation. We will recruit them. The process has started. The list has gotten to us. We've sent it to finance. We are only waiting for finance. I keep explaining this week about this, and it's not in our hands to sign a clearance letter.
We understand that, but you speak for the ministry.
And they know that it's a process. It starts from somewhere and it ends somewhere. It's a process. They know. They have submitted the list charge. We have also submitted it to finance. They're only waiting for to oppose them. That is what we're waiting to.
So has finance given you any indication as to when they will give that clearance?
Hello?
Has the Ministry of Finance given you indication as to when they will give that approval?
Why not?
And when is that?
You know the number of doctors, nurses, and other health professionals in Ghana. Thousands of them. Which when we recruit them, it's the same thing that is going to apply to our brothers and sisters.
So when is the clearance going to be given?
Please, if you request something from somebody, there's no way the person will give you a timeline.
But this is public money. Are you begging the Ministry of Finance?
We write to them, and when it is ready, they will tell us that the thing is ready. They will send it to us, or we go for it. And then we start the posting.
Well, that's what we want to know. So it means that for now, we cannot tell when the clearance will be given.
Because we are not the people who are going to sign.
All right.
We are not the one who is going to sign. How will you know? After when it is ready, it will be brought to you, and then you start the process. Just a few days ago, we got clearance for our brothers and sisters, some of the students who competed, Winneba and then Avrungo, and then also our brothers who competed this Allied Health Professional study. We are just about to post them. We do the postings all the time. And nothing has changed. It's a mandate. That is what we do as well. That is why we go to work. So it's unfortunate that I don't expect. Well, they have their right, but these are very noble profession. Our respected brothers and sisters, you start home for maybe 2-3 months. You have to go to the air for everybody to know.
You know they are hungry, so they have to talk. If you are not paid for a month, you will not be happy.
Well,
all right.
Democracy, everybody can talk, but I think we have to be very careful because at the end of the day, we're dealing with foreigners whom we expect to at least also invest in this nation. But if we keep going this way, every time there is agitation on labor front, people may think that we are at war with ourselves. And they'll be scared from even coming to invest in this nation.
They should be scared if they come to work in your nation and the hospitals do not have enough doctors to take care of them when they are sick.
Hello?
Hello?
Uh-huh.
Are you saying the foreigners will equally not be scared if they come into your country, go to invest in a district where there's only one hospital, I mean one medical doctor?
Master, why is this 200 plus doctors is what is going to give us the full complement of the staff that we need? No, we still need some more. And it's not that they are not going to be boosted. They'll be boosted. They have completed, the council has submitted their list to us. We have sent it to finance. We are only waiting for finance to give us the green light to post them.
All right. Very, very grateful for your time on our show tonight. Robert Kudjo is the public relations officer of the Ghana Health Ministry of Health. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. Keep your messages coming on 0266-026-9412. Our next story. The clash yesterday between workers of the VIP Transport Service and the Intercity STC at the Asafo Terminal in Kumasi caught much attention. Today, the Ashanti Regional Minister held a meeting with the conflicting parties. But we have learned that that meeting did not end. But for now, STC will not be allowed to operate there until further notice. So we're asking, what is it about competition that some transport operators have a challenge with? What difference will it make if STC is operating on the same yard with a VIP transport service? And who is actually going to be benefiting and who is going to be losing if that development is taking place? Joining us on the line is the Vice President of the Chartered Institute of Logistics and Road Transport, and is also the CEO of Road Safety Transport and Consultancy Limited, Dr. Godfred Achiadakwa. Doc, good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening.
Doc, in our country's transport system, will we say there's enough competition? And if there is, what does it mean for us?
Yeah, there is. I see there is enough competition in terms of the road transportation mode. And I think it is good competitive in every service school. And competitive breeds quality service, convenience, comfort, and it gives people choice to make. So competition in every service is good. Transportation is our worst part of the world. Just the road transportation. We are having these buses, and the buses are even grouped in different categories. The VIP has here, and then the other private consortiums, and the other government and others. I think it's good. And competition should be encouraged.
So why will a major transport company be against competition?
I think that's unfortunate. I don't know whether it's because the land that people are saying belongs to them. That is why they don't want anybody who has not sought proper permission from them for lease of the land, but for KMA to go ahead and lease the land. If it is true, the problem is that is the cost. And that's another thing we can talk about. Just because possession of land and give it to somebody is another issue. But if you talk about competition, just because BVIP is there and SCC, the CSCC, they don't come to place the same corridors, I think it will have been a good and healthy thing to do. Because it would be that transporters should be trying to operate in form of quality for the benefit of the public. And what means is that if you have the right buses, the right drivers who drive into safety without any form of accident for a long time, an operator that has goodwill, an operator can therefore decide to even reduce the fares that they charge, irrespective of fuel price going high, because he has what it takes. Somebody can also say, I want to do the skimming prices or skimming fare prices. So I would maintain high quality and charge very well because my vehicles or my buses are so stamped with higher fares, such a way that people sit in it very roomy, comfortable, air-conditioned with Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi and all that. Then you have to pay more. This all has competition. Everywhere in this world, there's competition, except probably the socialist countries. And competition is good and you encourage it. So I think we have to listen to the side of the DPH as well and see what is the competition they are afraid of. Then we can probably advise them that they should hold on to that.
But why competition is not seen to be fair? For instance, if the state is involved, we know prices are usually lower. And with Intercity STC now, the quality is okay. The buses have even charging system for your mobile phones. Some of them have washrooms inside. So we have a facility like that in a bus and you are being charged less. And another is having same or less. And it's in competition where the state will not intervene in terms of laws. Can we say the two can compete compete in a fair manner?
My brother, let me say this. If that is the fear of the DVIP, I would say that they should tell their fear. More often than not, government organizations cannot stand the competition of the private sector. It has always been proven that fewer government organizations can't stand the test of time. Private organizations have to tell it from. With the IP, they are doing well. Everybody knows them that they are working and doing well, and people prefer using them. So if VPIQ can, how do you call it, the CSEC can own this boarding market, I know for sure. Because VPIQ is a consortium of car owners, bring them together to come out and do the busing and coaching services. They can equally go and buy some of these buses to come and compete. So for now, if the buses they have now, they can even upgrade the buses. So they should not be too much disturbed and worried about the competition. They should tell us, if our competition comes, it increases, it just pushes you to be tough, to move forward. And we know, they should not worry, I think, because it could be that, who knows tomorrow? The government companies come and go, while the private companies, they remain.
But one will argue that if you are doing a good job, it doesn't matter your location. People will come to you and patronize your service or services. So why will a company want to operate where others are?
In the transport business and the other part of the world, it does not work too much. If, let's say, I come to buy things to the doctor, and I'm coming to Accra, I'm coming to Accra, and if I have to pick a taxi from Accra to food, where I can pick an SCC, what if the SCC car is waiting there and I want to board it taxi? Because in the cost of the taxi, that would add to my transport cost. I'll just pick the SCC and go to where I am. You know, when it goes to US, for example, we have something we call Dotstore. The transport operators may be sited somewhere remote, but they have smaller vehicles or vans. That takes people who want to travel with them, you go and pick them from the houses and then send them straight away. And then that cost is minimally added to the main transport cost. But in that way, we can buy our tickets from our own house online. So when we want to move, we just sit in our own, for the comfort of our home, buy the ticket, send the ticket number, you just give the address where the small bus can pick you or van can pick you. You pick you even if you are from Bronx. You have to pick, send it to where, how do you call it, Port Authority. It's just where the bus is. They will pick you from Bronx and then send it to Port Authority. And they say it's a little Madeira. If we are able to do that, then SCC Club position their vehicle wherever they may be, wherever remote they may be, and make the place so comfortable, then they can do this type of service to add to here. And I'm waiting to see Ghanaian transport companies that will go that way, which is so modern. So if that is the case, if that is not done, then people would like to drive their buses to the doorstep of where market activities go on, so that people would just be persuaded by looking at all the statistics of the big buses and then the good people will help or whatever to board those buses. And I think it's high time to just indicate what it is done out there.
All right. Doc, I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful, sir. Dr. Godfred Achia Dakwa, PhD, is the CEO of Road Safety Transport and Consultancy Limited, and is the president, vice president actually, of the Chartered Institute of Logistics and Road Transport. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. And if you are in Kumasi listening to us, we are on 92.1 Garden City FM. We have on the line the national chairman of the GPRTU, Kwame Nkrumah. Good evening, sir, and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Thanks for your time. How did your meeting with the regional minister end today?
Oh, thank you for calling me. We met and we discussed about the incidents about yesterday. And after seeing the hot transparent, it's not the fault from the state transport. Some of the GPRTU people that make that problem effort started to against the system. Because military, we sat down, we see that some local is having the plot. He give the system the plot to another a GPRTU member who before previous is in the GPRTU Takoradi station. The vice chairman. So he decided that he's not going to join GPRTU again. So that people give them the product that they should, they will take further place from Takoradi. And after that, they go and see a state transport that they will give them chance to operate from there to Accra. So we can see that the force doesn't come from state transport. And after the meeting, there's no any conclusion. He left everything for the minister. He's going to make the communique to everybody to make this thing. So now the transport is not part of the problem we are having now. So we are going to sit down with the local and the guy who is saying that is having a charter to make a protua at this thing. The minister is going to sit down with them and look at everything. Everybody is going to bring his papers for them to go through and see that if it's kind, it's true that they have acquired the land from the chief or it's not from the listener. So now, dear, everything is with the minister. So we are looking for the minister to look everything for us to know what to transpire.
So as we speak, can STC use the Asafo terminal?
Oh, no. Now we have a suspended. Meaning they will go through and see if they can use it. But as we are saying that, we are saying they can't use the camera unless they face the investigation and see whether they can come or they can't come.
But some people are still having difficulty with this whole problem. And we understand VIP, for instance, they came with two buses. People were wearing red as if there's a big problem. Do you see peace?
Oh, there's a peace. Because of that, I drove from yesterday from Accra to Kumasi. Because of this incident. And we have sat down with the minister, deputy minister, the transport director, and all of us. And everything is peace now. No one is going to make any problems again.
So, is it clear that the people are fighting not because of competition, but because of misunderstanding?
Oh, it's not understanding, sir, because you can't take GPRT property and go and say that you are going to give the property to another. No, we can't do that. I'm a national chairman. I'm a caretaker. I can't stand up and say that because I'm a national chairman, so we have some land here, I'm going to give it to some. I can't do that because we have constitution. We have constitution containers. So no one can come out and say that. And it's not even a branch chef. It's a local. So he don't have the capacity to do that.
Okay. All right, I want to thank you very much for your time. The National Executive Committee of the NDC has unanimously agreed to scrap the party's register and compile a new one using a manual process. The move is intended to restore the integrity of the party's register, which is less than 4 years old. Addressing journalists in Accra today, the national chairman and leader of the NDC, Kofi Portofin, asked members to go back to their roots and register the polling station at the branch office to be recognized as true members of the party. He hinted that the constituency elections will start from the 24th to the 25th of March 2018 and regional elections on the 9th and 10th of June 2018. Tonight, we explore this development further, and joining us on the line is the Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Kofi Anyiduhu. Good evening, sir, and welcome to Behind the News. Hello.
Kofi
Anyiduhu, thanks for your time, sir. What was the decision to scrap the current register based on recommendations of the Professor Kwesi Botwi Committee?
Well, thank you very much, and good evening to your listeners. Thanks for the opportunity. The party is a mass party, and we respond to the will and the dictate of our party members. We introduced something last year which we intended to be a biometric register. It did not help us in many ways. 1 million of our voters did not vote for us. In the last election, we lost the election miserably. The Kwesi Botwi Committee went round. The recommendations have come up. And of course, as executives, we are also listening to the base of the party. Thursday last week, the National Executive Committee, which is the highest decision-making body after Congress, took a decision. And so we have scrapped that system and re-engaged and reorganized our branch election processes.
So why are you resorting to manual when everybody is talking biometric, even at national elections?
If you don't capture data manually, how do you transfer it into a computerized system? There's always going to be a manual process. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time explaining to the media that what we are doing, yes, is manual. What we did in the past years was manual. To move from a manual process and sought to create a biometric data, which didn't work well for us. We are going back, recreating the manual process, which will allow us to capture data based on our membership at the branch level. When we finish that one, then we'll migrate to the biometric data.
Oh, okay. So who is a member of the NDC?
Everybody who goes to the branch to register. And at the branch level, because the branches are very tight units and the basic units of the political party, we believe that in so doing, we'll be able to capture the real data. In the past, we created registers. And so the registers were given to constituencies and branches, and they moved around and registered all kinds of persons. This time around, we are saying that you will have to attend branch meetings to be able to have your name captured in the register. So doing, we don't believe that MPP people will be able to attend our branch meetings. I have a personal experience. Myself and my colleague, Nilanse Wonderboy, we went for a by-election in Ofinso South in 2006. We were polling agents in it. We finished the election. MPP had over 500, and we had 13. Even that 13, that area, the MPP people went on a rampage saying that in the past, they've always known that only 6 people vote for the NDC at that branch. And so the 7 extra, they were going to look for the so-called devil that had entered the register there. So at the branch level, that's how tight the unit is. And we are saying that let's get back to that very tight unit where we believe that if we are registering at the branch level, everybody knows everybody.
But, sir, I come from Bungubalungu. If I want to be a member of the NDC, I'm based in Accra. I do everything in Accra. If I go to my own village, I may be able to register, but higher chances are that I may not be able to attend branch meetings. How will I be treated?
So the expediency tells you that you hail from Bongo, but register in Accra. The branches are all over the country. So you hail from Bongo. To the extent that you do not operate from Bongo on a daily basis, register at the GBC police station, A branch, and be a member there.
Is the position of the party that the register played a crucial role in the defeat?
To a large extent, we didn't manage that process well. People got disenfranchised because we created the register. There was exhibition. People lost out in terms of finding their names on it. They got angry. So they didn't vote in the general election. So we have learned crucial lessons, and we are saying that we are re-engaging the process. So you are from Bongo. I am from Tanibe. I operate in Accra. I'm in Oyarefa. So I will register in Oyarefa. I can still register in Tanibe. But when we move on to the biometric database that we want to do, when we are capturing the data, because we want to know the exact membership, the system will be such that even if you register in 10 branches, once you punch your name once into the system will capture you at only one branch.
Okay.
So we know the number of people we really have. But it doesn't stop you from belonging to Bongo and participating in Bongo activity, but yet still participating in a GBC branch activity.
But the difficulty is, if I want to contest as a member of parliament or constituency executive, what happens?
That is where you must go back to that branch, which is the basic unit where you want to contest. So you hear from Bongo, and that is where you intend to contest elections later on. Go to that Bongo place, put your name in the register, and then you are qualified to contest elections in that branch.
If I'm a known NPP member and I want to join the NDC, is that allowed?
It's allowed.
All right.
It's allowed. So processes are in place. So when you are from one party and you want to trek and join our party, it's allowed.
All right. Koku, we want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Wish you all the best. Koku Anyidoho is Deputy General Secretary of the NDC. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. We also have on the line Ben Efson. He's the pollster and the managing editor of the Daily Dispatch newspaper. Good evening, sir, and welcome to the program.
Good evening to our listeners.
Well, as a pollster over the years, what will you make of the NDC's decision to come out with a new register when the old one is not that old?
Well, I think that clearly the old one was caught with a lot of flaws. You know, the biometric one, it was done in a rush. They have taken their time. So I'm happy that they've decided that they would go to biometric, but later. Let me give an example of the impact that the rush in the biometric had. In the Lara constituency in Upper West region, a deputy general secretary of the NDP, the BZ, is alleged to have disenfranchised supporters and relatives of the incumbent NDC MP then. The MP lost the NDC prime minister, Mr. Zibi. Clearly, he was angry and he thought that there were quite a number of things that Mr. Zibi had done to get an advantage. So he decided to go independent, and that decision split the NDC into two, the constituency. The MP contested, and obviously his view was that if he had been disenfranchised through alleged wrongful means, he would make sure that, and he got 5,000. And this is something that, as Kuku was saying, implicated itself in other constituencies. So it's in the step in the right direction. But that is only one. That is only one of the reasons why perhaps the NDC.
Hello? It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. We shall try and get back to Mr. Efsen to complete that point. AU Farouk in Tamales says, good evening, George. What is really happening in this country? Government cannot employ trained medical doctors. God save Ghana. Monica Cons in Navrongo says, George, as the saying goes, safety first. And so no matter where the state transport company goes, people will still board them due to their safety. When it comes to the road. Mashudi Nkukum Tamale. Hi, George. It is imperative for our opponent, the National Democratic Congress, to emulate us, wish them well, but they should forget 2020 election is a done deal for the new patriotic party. George, Ghanaians love your program so much, but the sick signature tune is not captivating enough. I suggest you replace it with a more vibrant one. This is coming from Dr. Mass in Tamale. The unemployed doctors should exercise patience because the new Patriotic Party government is a listening one. The National Democratic Congress refused to employ these doctors, but the NPP is ready to solve this problem very soon. And Jake NS, I sent in that one from Kalio in the Upper West region. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. On the line, a political scientist and senior lecturer at the Department of Political Science, University of Ghana, Dr. Sedu Alido. Doc, good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
The NDC lost the election and the party had decided to replace its register with a new one. What difference would that make?
I think a lot. One of the reasons that came up in the diagnosis of their loss is that with the manner in which they put the register.
Hello, Doug. Doc, your line is breaking. Can you reposition yourself for us?
Yes. I'm moving. That's fine.
Oh, okay.
The issue is, you know, expanding your electoral college system, your voter register system, has a lot of advantages. It allows for more people to participate in the decision-making process and vote and elect the people that they want to lead the party. But they didn't do it so well. You know, people believe they wanted to copy what the MPP did. But if you look at the MPP, as an analyst, assume that the MPP was more organized at the top level than at the grassroots level, compared to the NDC, who was more organized at the grassroots compared to the top level. So So the expansion of the voter register in the MPP was meant to capture and strengthen their base at the grassroots level, which wasn't the case in the NDC. But what the NDC did was that the initiative was good, but the processes wasn't that good. People talk about the fact that parliamentary candidates were able to hide the voter register. They hoarded it. They deleted the name of party people who they thought were not going to vote for them. And when most of the registers were brought out, we even had MPP names, elements within the MPP whose names were in the register. There were no exhibitions, and it created a whole lot of apathy. People were not happy that there were known members of the party, but during the voting day, when they came out, their names was not on the voter register. A lot of people were aggrieved by that. People decided not to even vote for the candidates that won. So you have used, quote and unquote, fraudulent means to win the primary. Then go ahead and win the main election. So it was one of the serious issues. And the Kwesi-Boche report, they mentioned it, and several other research that was done after the 2016 elections also found it one of the most important issues that led to the defeat. So if they are able to do something moving forward, it can heal the apathy. Sorry, they had people who are aggrieved, and then it can heal the apathy within the party and move them towards a more united front in 2020.
All right, Doc, we are very grateful for your time on our show tonight.
All right, thank you so much.
Dr. Seydou Alidou is a senior lecturer at the Department of Political Science, University of Ghana, Legon. We have back on the line Ben Efson, managing editor of the Daily Dispatch newspaper in Apulsa. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much.
The arrangement, according to the national chairman, people will have to go to their branches to do the registration. They should be able to attend branch meetings to be recognized as such. And that means if you want to contest for a position, you should do it there. Are there implications?
No, I think that I'm sure they realize one of the reasons of discontent was the disconnection between somebody who has never gone there. All of a sudden, he just decides that he wants to contend because he has money. Somebody who has been with the party maybe 6 years, serving in various branches from police station, regional executive, and stepping down to try and contest. He'll be outbid by money. And I think that is what the party wants to avoid, people from just top down instead of bottom top.
Fears are also that if we're going to concentrate on that as a country, we may end up getting, quote-unquote, incompetent people at the grassroots level who are popular but do not have what it takes to govern, leading the nation.
So I think that if you want, how can you stay in Accra? You stay there, let's say, for 15 years, not going back. You decide that in 4 years, I want to contest. So you don't go there, then a year to Congress, you go there, you pay people, then you are the MP. You should be able to at least once in a year go and attend meetings, go back every 2-3 months. And I think that this is that disconnection. And I'm sure eventually other parties will do that. This is a way of not using monocracy to buy your votes at the delegates level.
But this is the system that operates at the assembly level. For instance, there are party members of the NPP who are unhappy that some DCEs, MCEs have been appointed, but they are not grassroots-based. The NDC suffers similar fate.
Well, I'm sure that along the line, this is what the NDC has seen. You also need to bear in mind inconsistencies which are kind of close, swing constituencies. People in presidential elections, especially people deciding not to come out to vote, it's like giving your opponent one vote. And I'm sure along the line, this is what the NDC has seen. And then they want to try that.
So going forward, is it a case that with this manual system, there will be unity in the NDC compared to what we witnessed in 2016 during the biometric registration?
The disunity was not more of the biometric nature of the registration. The disunity was in money is not getting to people who want to, let's say, in the constituency, you are working hard, you've asked for money to buy motorbikes and bicycles. They say there's no money. All of a sudden, there's a campaign from Accra, and then you have people coming from Accra in T-shirts, coming with small cars. You'll be angry. You want motorbike baskets to work, you don't give us, then you come from Accra with the motorbikes. You can do the work yourself. This led to a lot of apathy, and this is part of the, these are the ways to build unity. Biometric will help in terms of people not using their money.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show. Very grateful, sir.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Good evening as well, and good night. Ben Epson is the managing editor of the Daily Dispatch newspaper and a poster as well. Some of your text messages before we leave here. George, good evening. The only way government can employ these doctors and nurses is to put up more hospitals and health facilities in Ghana. Jacob sent in that one. If doctors who are the salt in society now have to apply for employment, it is another way of encouraging them to leave the country for jobs elsewhere. Those who made this decision surely have the capacity to receive medical attention outside Ghana, so they will not feel the pinch like the ordinary Ghanaian. Dr. Masi Intamale sent in that one. And this is how we end tonight's edition of Behind the News. My producers have been John Pobi Bellantelom Tete and John Akampale. Sound engineer was Ose Balobi. And I'm George Asikri. Till we meet again, God willing, same time tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of our programs.